class, and they got something they're going to share with you. So I'm going to, if you can, can you kill the air conditioners just for a few moments so everybody can hear it? All right, just for a few moments. Don't get angry.
Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessing to be here this morning. Amen. Or should I say, good morning, family.
Good morning.
It is good to be here today. I can pick on him. He's from my church. Even though y'all need to pray for my pastor, he needs to go to Haiti too. He's got his reservations about going. Reason is, I think he's scared. But if y'all would pray for him, I'd love to see him go. I'd even love to contribute to him going. Let me say a quick word about youth camp. If you don't have plans to come yet, do everything you can to change your schedule and come. Because it's going to be a great experience again. We've been praying. Our theme for this year is one life, one chance. And that's all we've got is one life to live on this earth. The old saying goes, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. So camps just say, "What's I don't believe in all that camp stuff. It's just a bunch of hype." Yeah, it's a bunch of hype. But we all need hype every once in a while. I guarantee if you went to a baseball game, there'd be a lot of hype. So we may as well get hyped about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. About 17 years ago, coming up in a couple of months, 18 years ago, wow, I'm old. I was laying face down on a bedroom floor up somewhere in Connecticut. Holy Ghost conviction all over me. Realizing about my sinful state. And the Lord Jesus Christ had pity on me and came and saved me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve His death on the cross. But He came down and He died for me and He died for you too. And that's why we're here this morning. You say, we're here to hear preaching. You've come to the wrong place because you're about to listen to a sorry preacher. We're here to sing. Hey, the singing was good, but that's not what it's all about. Say, so what's it all about? It's all about gathering in Jesus' name. To worship our lovely Savior, Jesus Christ. And if anything else happens in a service, it's a blessing. But the reason we're here is so we can worship together, so we can minister to one another. That's why I love coming to church. Say, I can worship on my own time. Yeah, you better worship on your own time. If you don't worship on your own, you'll never worship here. But there's just something about coming around a bunch of believers in Jesus Christ. There's just something about walking in the church and being greeted by people who are of like faith. I was sitting on the couch the other day at my pastor's house where I'm living, and his grandkids were just playing in the den, making a lot of noise, and people were in and out all day, and I just got to thinking. I got to thinking, and I got to crying over it, too. I've been a crybaby the last few months. The Lord's done some things in my heart just the last couple of months that have just made me even more of a crybaby. I was just rejoicing. I said, you know, all this is because of salvation and surrender to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know your pastor. I wouldn't know any of you except for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be able to stand up here and preach except for the Lord Jesus Christ. I get a lump in my throat every time I get ready to preach because I realize just how much bigger it is than me. How much bigger of a responsibility it is to preach than I can personally handle. And so I'm looking for that unseen hand to just grab mine and say, let's go. And let him do the preaching this morning instead of me. Besides that, I know what your pastor teaches y'all in your Bible Institute. And I know what an extremely shallow preacher and evangelist can be. But you need all kinds of preaching, amen? You need doctrinal preaching. You need preaching that's just going to rip your face off. I believe even sometimes you need a dud preacher in. Say, why is that? So you can appreciate good preaching. I believe that, Brother Veach. I really do. And I think that's why he had me in this morning. I just wanted to come and visit. I wasn't looking to preach. And he said, why don't you preach? I said, brother. But the old man that taught me the Bible was always said, you better be ready to preach, pray, or die, man. Preach, pray, or die. So if I'm asked to preach, I definitely will. If you'd take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a very familiar passage. I love the book of 2 Timothy. And young preachers, guys that have just surrendered to preach, I believe you need to spend some time and just camp out in 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy for a while. And read what Paul had to say to this young preacher. Why? Because there's some good advice in here for young preachers. And we're going to look at one particular verse of Scripture in 2 Timothy. I'm kind of going to spring off this and pitch a fit, if you'll allow me to. We'll look at some other passages in the Scripture this morning. But 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And while you're there, I just want to say how much I do love this church. I've been here two other times for conferences and just love your people. I was so glad when you guys came to youth camp last year. I had a great time with you and love your pastor and just everything about this place. I was thinking about churches the other day while I was coming in on the train. There's some churches I could care less if they asked me to come back. And this ain't one of them. This is probably in my top. If there was a top five, y'all would be in it. And I can't do that because I don't think it's fair to rate churches on a scale like that. But as far as one of my favorite churches to be here is Staten Island First Bible Church. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Now, Paul here is at the end of his race. He's getting ready to be beheaded. Any day, any minute of any day, he's expecting to hear the footsteps of those Roman soldiers coming down that echoey corridor to pick him up, take him out to where the chopping block was, put his head down there, and there an executioner was going to chop off his head with a sword. At any moment he was expecting that, but as he was expecting it, he was writing to Timothy, which is his disciple, someone he's discipled in the faith. I believe we all should disciple people in the faith and encourage people in the faith. But he wrote this very familiar passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Let's talk to the Lord for just a minute. Father, Lord, you know, God, how unworthy I am to be preaching your word. And I know. But Lord, I thank you that because of one day an old rugged cross, you've made me worthy. And you've made all of us worthy, Lord, to be able to be here in church. It's nothing that we've done. But Lord, it's all about what you've done. So Lord, I'm praying right now, God. I'm asking you in your power, Lord. I've asked you a bunch already, and it doesn't hurt to ask one more time. Lord, I want to preach in your spirit. Lord, I want to be filled up with you this morning. I pray you'd empty me of me. Lord, help them to hear you. And Lord, if you can be an encouragement to one of your people, God, we'll sure give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Paul here is likening this Christian walk to a race, to a course of some sort. Other places, he says he likens it to a race. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, you've run well, who doth hinder you? You're running a race here in the Christian life. And Paul's at the end of his, and he knows it. And he says, I've fought a good fight. Boy, I'd like to be able to say that about my life when it's over, wouldn't you? I've fought a good fight. What a thing. Rather than laying on my deathbed, having been saved all these years and having regrets of what I didn't do for Christ, I'd rather be able to lay on my deathbed and say, yeah, I fought a good fight. It's been a good time being a Christian. And I served the Lord all these years. And now I'm ready to go. And essentially that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. But he says here, I've finished my course. My course. This morning, I want to give you a couple thoughts on finishing your course successfully. Finishing your course successfully. Say, why do you want to preach that? Well, it bothers me because I see a lot of people who have gotten saved and just fizzle out. It bothers me that we had youth camp last year. And there's going to be people from all over the place that came last year and got a touch on them and got fired up and got exhorted and got preached to and spent some time getting right with the Holy God. And then after camp, they just fell and fizzled out. Say, what makes that happen? Well, something hindered them. Something hindered them. And my honest plea is this morning, is my prayer is that I can encourage somebody who's maybe just hanging on the edge to get all the way in. Maybe someone who's in the race this morning to keep going and to go even stronger. And maybe someone who's not saved this morning, if you don't know what salvation's all about, boy, we'd sure like to tell you about it. We'd sure like to see you saved this morning. What a Father's Day it would be if someone lost was to get saved this morning. The first thing I want you to notice about this race, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. My course. It was his course. And each one of us has a course. Each one of us has a race that we have to run. And I can't run your race, and you can't run my race. Amen? You've got to run your own race. I've seen more Christians, more saved people get out of the race because either they were trying to run somebody else's race or somebody else was trying to run their race for them. Now listen, I'm of a way that if I'm going to run anywhere, I'm going to need some help. Otherwise, it's going to be a colossal mess. Okay, it's just that simple. And when I was in school, when I was in gym class, I hated gym class. You can probably tell that by my figure. When I was in gym class, someone would always have to run with me. I'd have to take their arm or take their shoulder, and they'd have to run with me. And what that did was it slowed them down, and it slowed me down. You've got to run the race alone. Amen. Now, there's people going to be running beside you. There's other Christians going to be running beside you. But they can't run your race for you. Otherwise, it's going to be like me back in the gym class. Listen, as Christians, we need to mind our own business. Someone running their race just a little different than you, don't kick them down. That's the quickest way to discourage a person. Now, if they're in sin and the Lord deals with you, that you need to maybe talk to them and encourage them, sure, do that. But don't try to kick them down running the race. So why is that? Because there's always going to be people out there ready to trip you up. Ready to tell you something just a little different. Amen? Listen, someone comes in here with blue hair and a nose ring and tattoos all over. It's got to happen in New York City. It's just got to. It happens in Delaware, and we're rednecks out there, so it's got to happen in the city. Someone comes in here like that and they get saved. It is not your job to change their clothes. Say, but they offend me in the way they look. Well, you know what? Get on your knees and start praying for them. And as the Holy Ghost of God starts to convict them, if they're serious, I guarantee you there'll be a change. But you know what, church? I'm going to tell you from experience that when I first started in working with teenagers and working with youth, we always tried, the very first thing we try to do when someone got saved, we try to change their music, we try to change their clothes, we try to change their attitude. And here's what happened. Everybody that got saved was so excited about being saved. Who's not? I mean, getting saved is only the greatest thing that could happen in your earthly life. And so what they'll do is, like, yeah, I'll change. But they're not changing because the Lord showed them that they needed to. They're changing for you. And so when adversity comes, when a trial comes, guess what they go back to? All those comfort foods the world had to offer. And we lose them. And we're losing teenagers and we're losing adults and we're losing all kinds of people. Why? Because we're trying to be the Holy Ghost for them. Let me go on record and say, the Spirit of God does a much better job of convicting than we ever will. The Word of God does a much better job in convicting than you or I ever will. Let's let God be true, amen? Let's just let Him show off, amen? Say, well, what are we going to do with these new Christians? Encourage them. Hey, they just started in this race. Encourage them to get their legs and start to run. I guarantee, Christians, if we do more encouraging and less kicking, I guarantee you we'll have more success. Amen? Say, are you trying to say people ought to just live like they want to when they come to church? Not at all. I believe in having personal standards. Amen. I believe in having some personal convictions. I'm not up here to preach mine, but I believe in having them. I also don't believe in kicking someone down because they got one more conviction than I've got. Amen? It's good to have them. It's part of the Christian life. But unless the Lord shows you that, unless the Lord shows you something, it's not going to matter. And you'll go back on it. So stop trying to run somebody else's race and run your own race. Say, are you bitter? No, I'm not bitter, but it just agitates me. It's an itch that I got to scratch every time I preach this particular message. Run your own race. It's your race. It's my race. They're separate. We're running a separate course here. Every one of us is accountable to God for Himself. A lot of churches down south, they rely on what their pastor says. The pastor's kind of the pope of their church. And if the pastor says something, then it's the gospel, and they don't even bother to check it out. That's a good way to fall. It's a good way to fall. Your pastor might say something. I remember when I was down in Bible school, and the teacher always stood before us. He said, don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. You get in that King James Bible, and you look it up, and you find out for yourself. And you know, when I started doing that, the Lord started to minister to me. Why? Because He uses His Word to minister. Amen? He uses people. But hey, if He's magnified His Word over His own name according to Psalm 138, then obviously that's the method that He wants to use first. Amen? Don't take someone else's word for it. You get in that book and you study the matter out and you see what the Lord's got to say. Secondly, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to be camped out here for a while because I've got some things to say about this verse, this passage. It's one of my very favorite passages in the Scripture. One of the passages that if I'm down for any reason, and we get that way because we're humans, but for any reason, if I'm down, I like to open to this passage of Scripture and I like to read it because it picks me up. It says, wherefore, see, we're also compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. One of my very favorite passages of Scripture. But here's something about the Christian race that'll help you to finish. It says, let us run with patience. You know what you've got to do? You've got to pace yourself. You've got to pace yourself. I'm thinking of a boy that we had in our youth group years ago. His name was John DeFilly. His name was John. And boy, when he got saved, he got on fire, buddy. I mean, if the Christians were doing it, he was doing it right away. Right away. Something happened where him and his girlfriend that he had in the church broke up. We've not seen John DeFilly since. Say, what happened? What happened? Somebody dropped the ball with that boy. Because they weren't discipling him. They weren't coaching him. You got to have a coach. And says, you know what? Maybe you're overdoing it right now. Let's get back to the basics here in the book. Amen? Hey, listen, a baby cannot learn to walk, cannot learn to crawl before it learns to sit up on its own. Before it learns to get up on its own knees and hands. A baby doesn't just come out crawling. A baby doesn't just come out running. That's what some Christians tend to want to do, is just to come out running. Listen, learn to sit up before you learn to crawl. Learn to crawl before you learn to walk. Learn to desire milk before you start trying to choke down the meat. Hey, listen, you've got to pace yourself in this race. If you're newly saved in here, don't get frustrated because there's people in here that know more than you do. They've been saved a lot longer than you have. I think it's very important to pace yourself in this race. Just be patient because, listen, as you grow, the Lord will show you what He wants for you to see. Amen? Here's something else it says here. It says we're compassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. I realize that doctrinally he's talking about the witnesses that have gone before us. The apostles, the saints up in heaven. And they're in heaven and they're cheering us on up there. But listen, there's a more practical application to that, if I may. It says we're compassed about. We're surrounded. Now, there might be a cloud of witnesses up there, but I guarantee there's a cloud of witnesses down here too. Amen? Hey, there's people that are watching you run your race. Last year, I prayed for 10 years that I'd be able to witness to my family as a whole. That I'd be able to preach to them just once, Jesus Christ and His beautiful gift of salvation. And it took the death of my aunt from cancer at a very young age. And I stood before those people and I preached Jesus Christ to them. But you know what I did? I drew my line in the sand as I was doing that. And you know what? They're watching me now. And they're watching me as I run my race. Why? A lot of them's Catholic. A lot of them just knows what they've seen from the church. And a lot of them are not even going to church. So a lot of them are skeptical. All it would take is one good fall for Jesus Christ to be just about worthless to them. I have a responsibility to those who are watching me in my family. We had a boy in our youth group named Charlie. Charlie Munson, I'll never forget him. He started coming to our church when he was about 7, got saved, and boy, you couldn't keep this boy quiet about Jesus Christ. I mean, you just talk about obnoxiously loud about him. Matter of fact, he was obnoxious. He wore these 5-inch thick Coke bottle glasses. He was a bus kid. And I'm real picky about the way things are set up on the platform, microphones, things like that. And this boy, when he'd come to church, he'd get the microphones and he'd rearrange them however he felt like rearranging them. Nobody stopped him. It was aggravating when we needed microphones. We had to fish through his tangled mess. But boy, he used to get on my nerves. I used to wear these little ear monitors to help me to hear better in church, everything that was going on. And Charlie would every time get on a microphone in church and start singing on it off key, and it would come through right through my monitors in my ears. So all I'd hear was him. And most of you that know my pastor know how compassionate he is toward me. So he just laughed. Let it happen. Charlie was a thorn in my flesh. He got this guitar and somebody told him he could play it up on the platform. Always had to have it mic'd. Always. Oh, my soul. It was the worst thing you ever dreamed of hearing. And it was going right from him to my ears with love. I'm telling you, folks, Charlie was a mess. He's since moved. Charlie said something to me one day that got me thinking. I like to preach at our young people's camp. They don't analyze what you say when you preach. They take you at face value. A lot easier than preaching to adults. But Charlie, before I preached one night, and I couldn't shake it the whole night I was going to preach. I was about to preach about Daniel purposing in his heart that he wasn't going to compromise and he was going to live for God. Charlie came up to me and said, "Brother Jesse," I was like, "What do you want, Charlie?" He said, "I'm going to be like you someday." I prayed right then. I said, "Oh, dear God." I said, "What, you want to be the music director at the church?" I said, "You know, it's going to take some talent to do that, Charlie." Charlie said, "No, Brother Jesse." He said, "The doctors say by the time I'm 21, I'll be completely blind." You know, I was born this way. It's no big deal to me. It's no skin off my back. But somebody who's been able to see and goes blind later in life, I feel real sorry for them. I know God's got a purpose for them. And God can use them just like He uses me. But I realized something that evening. I realized that little annoying Charlie Munson had his eyes on me. And he was watching me. And he was watching just how I run my race. And he was watching to see if I ever got bitter or if I ever complained. Hey, listen to me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, it says, "None of us live to ourselves and no man dieth to himself." Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. One of the very first questions that Cain asked the Lord when the Lord said, "Hey, where's your brother?" He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Listen, you know what the answer to that question is? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're your brother's keeper. And it's your responsibility because your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ are watching you run your race. They're watching you run your race. And they're witnessing what you do. The lost are watching you. The saved are watching you. And you can't get away from it. So what are you going to do, saved person? Are you just going to let them watch you fizzle out? Are you going to be another statistic? Another casualty? I'm sick of casualties. I hear about preachers all over the country running off with their piano players. My pastor doesn't have that problem. He's got 2 piano players. Both of us are men. That's the way to have it, praise God. But you hear about stuff like that happening all the time, or getting hooked up with women in the church. And the next thing you know, their ministry's shot. Hey, listen to me. I go to a church every year. I love this church. I've loved it since I was young. And the former pastor there, not one, not two, but three times that everybody knows of, committed adultery on his wife. Three times. When the pastor finally faxed in his resignation because he was too scared to show up in town, the town was talking. The whole county was talking. Why? Because this guy had fizzled out. And so now the new pastor of that church has found himself in the middle of a mess, and he's had to rebuild that church. Say, how's he doing? He's doing great by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you, it took some work. It took some work. So what's that all about? It's self-indulgence. And we've got no time for it to save people. Others first. We don't just run for the reward. We run because we might be the only testimony that some people ever see. Listen, there are witnesses both above you and around you, and they come past you and you're surrounded with them. So what are you going to do about it? Maybe some of you just kind of hanging on for dear life. Are you going to keep doing that? Listen, I know a boy who surrendered. He was homeschooled all his life. Surrendered his senior year of high school to go to the public school and to graduate from a public school so he could be a missionary to his school. I don't recommend it all the time. I don't recommend it all the time. If you can't stand, then you better not do something like that. But let me tell you about this boy. He led a lot of his friends to Christ. Was a witness everywhere he went. Stood strong for Jesus Christ and left an impression. Why? Because he realized the value of running his race and how others are watching him run his race. Hey, listen, I travel all around the country to all kinds of different churches, and people are watching me, and they're always calling me, how you doing, brother? Be a shame if one day they called my number and it was disconnected. And to check on me, they called my pastor, and my pastor said, you didn't hear? He's out. I know people are watching me. I want to run my race for Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, I'll continue to. But listen, it's going to take something else that we find right here in this same passage. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. You know what that little passage right there tells me? That not every weight in your life is necessarily a sin. Say, what do you mean? Well, you could be doing things that take your attention off Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example. Is it a sin to work? No, it's absolutely scriptural to work. It's absolutely scriptural. But listen, if your job gets in the way of your life with Jesus Christ, then that job is a weight. It's become more important than God. And something needs to be done about it. We lose more people because they're working when the church doors are open. And they're working so much that they can't spend time in the Scriptures. Hey, we lose more people over that than we lose over just about anything else. It's not a sin to work. But when it becomes more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ, than your walk with Him, then maybe something needs to be done about it. When I got saved, my besetting sin was the music. I had dreams of being a rock star. If I was growing up today, you better believe I would have auditioned for American Idol. I had dreams. Probably would have got tore apart by Simon, but I had dreams. Hey, listen, I'm serious. I had dreams. I had dreams. You know what happened? The Lord saved me, and He said to me, He said, Jesse, you ain't going to be a rock star. In fact, I have plans, and I really want to use you, and I want to use your talents. but I can't use them until you give them to me. You might have a talent. You ain't going to be able to use it till you give it to Him. You're not going to be very effective with it. Had my dreams. I mean, from the time I got home from school to the time I went to bed, I was listening to rock music. I was studying the musical trivia of my generation. The stuff that they play now, you can even hardly consider it music. It's noise. And that's even compared to 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It just gets worse and worse, folks. And I wanted to be in the middle of it until the Lord got a hold of me. But hey, I had to do something. I had to lay it aside. All my dreams, I had to lay them aside. Why? Because I was so consumed with that music. The Lord could not have used me in that condition. And I had to lay it aside. I know guys that go to churches, they let a cigarette get in the way of serving God. So how do you know? Because there's people like that in my church. They can't go on church trips because they got to smoke. Can't go on visitation because every little while they got to go somewhere around back and they feel guilty about it. Hey, listen, if it's right, do it. If it's wrong, quit it. And if you can't quit it, then get somewhere with God until you get the victory. But listen, there should be nothing hindering you from serving God. I realize there is. And there's things in my life that I'm always having to tell the Lord, Lord, come short here. I've sinned here. I'm sorry. Whole doctrine about you don't need to confess your sins. I'm telling you something. I don't know how people live that way. I sure feel bad when I hurt Jesus Christ. I know I've got to reconcile with Him. It's just like a kid and his father. It's Father's Day. When your kid hurts you and does you wrong. In your heart, you've already forgiven him. But until that kid comes and says, Daddy, I'm sorry. It just ain't right, is it? That's the way it is with the Lord. He's already forgiven us. He's already shed His blood to cover our sins. To forgive our sins. But we still got to come to Him and maintain fellowship and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It'll help you. It'll help you. It'll help you to get the victory over whatever besetting sin you have. And they're always going to come up. Trust me. The minute you get victory over one, something else is going to happen. I heard a preacher say one time that he hadn't sinned in 40 years. I don't know what he was smoking, but I'd sure like some of it. Listen here. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life for us. We can sure try to live a sinless life for Him. Say, are we going to succeed? Well, the odds are pretty well stacked against us. But don't you think He knew that? So what do? You just stay before Him and stay humble. Something comes up, you keep getting it right with Him. You keep asking Him for the victory. Hey, you're going to get the victory if you keep asking Him for it. He's going to do something for you if your heart's right. But don't let something stand in the way of Him. Don't let the music you like or the little boyfriend or little girlfriend you have stand in the way of that. Now let me say this. I am not against girls having boyfriends. I'm not against men having girlfriends. I'm not against your pastor getting married. I think it's a wonderful thing. I told him last night, I said, you the man. Met Margaret for the first time. I said to the preacher, I said, you the man. You the man. I'm for it. I'm for it. But listen, if it gets in the way of the Lord, I see a lot of teenagers and they date. They just date around. And the next thing you know, that boyfriend of theirs has robbed something that they should have held sacred until the altar of marriage. Taken their purity, and they can never get it back. So they come back to church and they feel all dirty. And it's so hard to get them back to where they really believe that God's forgiven them, because they have a hard time forgiving themselves. I've seen good Christian boys get tangled up with lost girls and never come back. It bothers me. It bothers me. I'd rather stay single if that's going to happen to me. It bothers me. You know something? We've got a responsibility. The responsibility is to finish the course that's set before us. The Apostle Paul did it. We can do it too. But there's some things we've just got to get rid of before we can do it. Paul could have never finished his course if he was busy stoning people he didn't like. He could have never done it. Paul's a hero. Listen here, he was stoned for the cause of Jesus Christ in the actual throwing rocks kind of way. He was beaten 195 times for the cause of Jesus Christ. Imprisoned, shipwrecked, all kinds of things. You just read through that New Testament and you see Paul was, boy, I'll tell you, he had it a lot rougher than we do. But at the end of his life, he wrote, I've fought a good fight, and I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Hey, I'm a little beat up, but I finished. I finished. So how do you finish? The key is in a couple of places. What's the first two words in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3? Consider him. Consider him. You know, we could finish our race if we considered Jesus Christ first, before we considered the comfort of ourselves. We could do it successfully if we put him first. Listen, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, you can turn there and look at it if you'd like. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul's saying here, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, of Christ Jesus. Excuse me. Now listen, what's that mark? That mark's a completed race successfully. That mark is standing before the judgment seat of Christ and hearing Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what I want to hear Him say one of these days. I sing a song that it talks about, I just want to please the Lord. And the last line in the chorus is, it says, to hear Him, to be lost in His presence and found in His likeness. To hear Him say, well done, someday. Boy, that's what I want Him to say to me. When I get to heaven, I want Him to say, Jesse, well done, son. You ran that race and you didn't quit. Hey, you might not have been the greatest of singers. You might not have been the greatest of preachers, but I'm going to tell you something, son. You were faithful and you finished the race and you did what I told you to. Well done. Here's your crown. He might not say it that way. I don't guess he's Southern. And one of these days we're going to stand before Him and we're going to receive the reward for what we did here. I want more crowns than I want stuff that's just burning and turning to wood, hay, and stubble. Don't you? Listen here, folks. We're in this race, and the only way to finish it, the only way to finish successfully is to always to keep your eye as you run on that finish line. Hey, listen, I don't believe we have very long. If who I think's going to win for president really wins, I pray that we only have about 30 minutes left. I don't think we've got that long. But if we've got 100 more years, if we've got 200 more years, if we've got to go to concentration camp someday, like the conspiracists have been predicting for about 100 years, I still want to be faithful. I still want to be faithful. Say, why? Because I realize what He did for me on a cross 2,000 years ago. Listen, He was led up a hill called Calvary. Roman soldiers who hated Him stuck nails in His hands and His feet, and they just drove Him in there, nailed Him to a cross. Roman tradition always says that people were tied to the cross. It's not in the Bible, it's just tradition, so I don't know if it's true or not or whether to believe it. But I know Jesus Christ, my lovely Savior, who never did anything wrong, was nailed to that cross. After being beaten and suffering like no human ought to have done. Hey, you say, where was the ACLU then? They weren't there. And they're not going to be there when you suffer. And they won't be there when I suffer. And the Romans nailed Him to a cross for a trespass they never quite could nail down. He was innocent, unlike O.J. He was innocent. The lovely Lamb of God was nailed to a cross. You know where it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Listen, that's what the Savior did for us. He was a living sacrifice for us. You see, before they'd burn the burnt offering, they used to take that lamb and they used to cut its throat. And that's how it shed His blood. But I want to submit to you that the Lord Jesus Christ shed more blood in His life than He did when He died. And as He was nailed up there on that cross, a picture of an altar, and He bled and died for a crime that He didn't commit, and He asked His Father, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost and He finished His course. And that was it. So they thought. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. Why? To give us abundant life. To give us a chance to run the race. To give us this thing that we know and we love so dearly called salvation. Don't you think that's a worthwhile mark to keep your eyes on? Hey, if He did that for you, don't you think you can consider Him a while? Don't you think you can look at Him a while and run your race accordingly? So what do you mean? It's your reasonable service. You owe it to Him. He didn't owe you a thing. He came to a sinful world. Hey, His perfect will was for man to be perfect and sinless just like He is. And man messed it up. But He still came down because He said, I love Him enough to die for Him. I love Him enough to live a human life for Him and die at the end of it. Hey, listen, the only real Christian, real Christian that I know of is Jesus Christ. He set the standard that we have to follow. I don't like to call myself a Christian. You know why? I'd rather have somebody else do it. It says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They didn't walk around saying, I'm a Christian. They just walked around saying, hey, this is Jesus Christ. You ever heard about Him? Let me give you something. Tell you about Him. You got a minute? I just want to tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ. And they called Him Christians because they followed Christ. I want people to call me a Christian. I don't want to have to go around calling myself one. I want the proof to be in the pudding. Amen? Amen. Peter. Think about Peter and we'll close. When he was on the water, Peter gets a bad rap, but you know, he was the only disciple with guts enough to say, Lord, if it's really You, tell me to come to You. He was the only one that did that. He gets a bad rap for what he did next because you know what he did? He looked down and he saw the storms around him. And there will be storms around you. And there will be trials. I just came out of a big one myself. And there will be suffering of some sort. And he looked down and he saw all that and he saw the big waves and he started to sink. And you will too, and I have. The Lord rescued him out of the water and said, "Ye of little faith." Listen here. Keep your eyes on him and you won't sink. Amen. Boy, it might get tempting sometimes. The old devil might crawl up on your back and tell you to quit. But I guarantee you, if you keep your eyes on him and what he did for you, child of God, listen, you won't quit. You won't quit. Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And I've kept the faith." Let's stand together, please. All across the auditorium. Maybe this morning you need to find a place to pray and just say, "Lord, let some things go for a while. Let some things go. And I need your help to get it right. Because I can't do it myself. I've got this sin that's plaguing me or a weight that's on me and I need to get rid of it. Lord, I've been living for me. I haven't been living for others." I don't know, maybe the Lord's not dealing with anybody this morning. But if He is and you need to do some business, I pray you don't leave this room without doing it. Maybe this morning you're asking, "What's this stuff about this race?" Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you something, friend. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to any of us in this room. And it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. We'd love to see you saved. We'd love to see you join us in this race. You see, we've got to be saved. We've got to accept the Lord's forgiveness for our sin. If we're going to get to heaven, if we're going to have all the rewards that we just spoke of, don't leave this room this morning without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I guarantee you it's the best thing you could ever do in your life. And any of us would be glad to show you how to do it. Father, Lord, I pray you bless your message this morning. I was hoping to preach something else, Lord, but this is what you laid on my heart. So, Father, I can only put the word out there and then take your word that you're not going to let it return void. Pray you bless your people this morning now. Bless this church, Lord. I love this church. It's one of my favorite places to come. Bless them, I pray. Bless the pastor. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.
Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? Did God speak to your heart this morning? I hope He did. He spoke to my heart. And the message is real clear and plain this morning. I think if you're saved here this morning, you know what you need to do. If there are things in your life that are... I just love the point that he made. Not every weight is a sin. That's a truth. Not every weight in your life is a sinful thing. It's just anything that slows you down in this race that you're to run. The things in your life that are not necessarily sinful, but they cost you too much time, too much money, too much energy, and it affects your service for Jesus Christ. It can be things that you love, something you have an affection for that you don't want to give up an affection for it. And it might not even be something sinful, but if it gets between you and the Lord, then you know what? You need to lay that weight aside because you're never going to finish your race the right way. And when you and I stand before Jesus Christ one day, isn't it true that that's really all that will have mattered? Yeah. Nothing else will have mattered. The kind of house you and I live in, or the kind of car we drive, or the place you can go on vacation. When you stand before Him and are waiting to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," nothing else will really have ever mattered. Only thing will be important is, what did you do with this life you had and this race that was set before you? Great message this morning. And if you need to do something this morning, get something right with God, I hope you will. I hope you'll respond to the Spirit of God. We're just going to bow our heads, and we will give you that opportunity right now. Pix, if you will. I don't know the page number. I think it's I Surrender All 390-something, 394, somewhere in there. If you will, just pray that. And if you need to, wherever you are, you can kneel where you are. If there's something you need to deal with the Lord about, or you want to come here at the front, you can pray. And we're going to pray right now. And if you need Jesus Christ, if you're not sure you're saved, then this morning is a great opportunity for you to settle that as well. Let's bow our heads together this morning as Pixie plays something for us. And I'm going to close the service in prayer in a minute, but before we go out of this room, are you sure this morning, first of all, that you're saved? Let me ask you first. If you're here today and you died today, do you know for sure that you are saved? Have you ever truly trusted Jesus Christ to save you? Do you know that for sure? If you're not certain about it, you can be certain. Jesus Christ will give you that assurance. He'll save you forever. He's only looking at one thing, not your past. He's not looking at your qualifications. None of us qualify. He's only looking at your willingness to trust Him. Would you be willing to trust Him today? Would you be willing to believe Him today? If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wouldn't embarrass anybody. That's not our intention. But if you're here today and you know you need to be saved, would you be honest with God? Would you just lift your hand and say, "Yes, that's me. I know I need to be saved." Yes, sir. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. If you're here today and you know you need to be saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never really repented of your sin and believed on Jesus Christ, what a blessing if today would be the day of your salvation, the day of your new birth. It can be. The only thing that stands in the way is your heart attitude toward Jesus Christ. If you'd surrender and submit yourself and receive Him today with all your heart, He would save you. No questions asked. Is there anyone else today? This man and this woman have lifted their hands. Is there anyone else this morning you'd say, "I know if I died today, I would not go to heaven. I need you to pray for me. I need your prayers. Please pray for me today." Is there anyone else like that today? Lift your hand up right where you are. Could we pray for you this morning? We're not trying to rope you into something. We're not trying to get something from you. But could we pray for you this morning? Is there anyone else? You'd say, "I know I need to be saved today. Here's my hand. Please pray for me." All right, before I pray, Christian, I want to ask you this. You're here today and you know you're saved. But you know there's some things in your life that are holding you back. Boy, for how many of us here this morning is that true? There's some things in your life that are holding you back, and you know it. You know it. They might not even be sinful things. But there are things that are just consuming your time and consuming your life and keeping you from serving like you know you should. Is that true of anybody in here this morning? All right, amen. Okay, you know it's true. God sees your heart, of course, and He knows your life. He's watching all those things. He sees how we spend our time. He sees how we spend our money. He sees the things we love, what we have an affection for. He sees what thrills our soul. And what must break His heart to see that the things of God don't thrill our soul like they should. A number of hands went up this morning. Christian, listen, if you're here this morning and you know that's true in your life, then the message this morning was just for you. Would you make it right with God this morning? Would you just humbly bow your heart before the Lord today? And would you submit yourself to Him today? Just call upon His name. And dear Lord Jesus, you could just speak to Him. Dear Lord Jesus, as your child, I know I'm saved. But I know there are things in my life that have got to go if I'm ever going to serve you the way I should. Please be merciful and help me. Give me grace. Give me victory. What is it today that's keeping you from being the servant of God you should be? Pray that this morning. Ask God to help you with it this morning. And for this man and this woman that admitted today they need to be saved, please pray for them today. And friends, when we leave this service, if you want to stay for a minute, we'd be happy to talk with you and show you from the Bible how you can get that settled in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement to our heart. Thank you for the wonderful Father that you are to us. Thank you for the reminder this morning in the message, Lord, that we should be with one another the way you are with us. Thank you for encouraging us, even when we fail. Thank you, Lord, for picking us up every time, every single time we fall. Every time we've ever failed in sin, we never have to fear coming to you. And even then, Lord, we can come boldly as sons of God and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a merciful and gracious God and Father you are to us, Lord. Help us to be that way with one another. I pray for that Christian in here today, Lord. Maybe they have failed. Maybe somewhere along the way they let their guard down. Sin got a hold of their life. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to remember, Lord, your mercy and your kindness. Help them, Lord. I pray they'd come to you this morning. I pray this morning, Lord, they'd find forgiveness and cleansing and peace, Lord. Help them today. And for this man and this woman that lifted their hands this morning, Lord, Father, only the Holy Spirit can show them truly their need, and only you can put the faith in their heart, Lord, to believe the gospel and be saved. And I pray today would be the day of their salvation, Lord. I pray that today you would give them that understanding and help them, Lord, that they would come to you and receive Jesus Christ. Lord, please help them. Thank you for the message today. Thank you for our brother. Thank you for the ministry that you've given him. Thank you for the grace, Lord, that helps him every day to overcome the obstacles that you've allowed in his life. Let that be an example to us and a reminder to us, Lord. Forgive us for the times that we've complained and whined about things we don't have. Forgive us for that, Lord. I pray you'd strengthen our brother, use him. Lord, just multiply his ministry, help him, Lord. And thank you for his friendship and his fellowship in the gospel. We pray, Lord, as we go from this place, that you'd help us to remember we don't go from your presence. Help us to walk worthy before thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I'll remind you, folks, as you go, if you would like to have a part in Brother Jesse's ministry, you can leave something in the basket back there. And